go ahead.
So, here we are, Matthew chapter 7. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we read verses 24 to 29. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that on this final day of the year, as we look at the year 2018 coming up, that it would be our determination. Lord, some people would want to make great strides. Some people have set no goals for next year. But Lord, I hope it's our heart's desire for every one of us as Christians to do better in 2018 than we did in 2017. Thank you for sustaining us in 2017. Thank you for the storms that have taken place, and we have come out on the other side, and I hope that we are better for it. Thank you that we get to be in your house today. Whatever 2018 holds for us, I pray that we will be standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have read to you from the Babylon Bee before. This is life-changing stuff. The Babylon Bee is a satirical satire, however you say that, fictional type of thing, that they write articles that seem to be real, but they are not. And this is one of them that I really liked, because in good humor, there's an element of truth in all of it, right? If there's no truth in it, then it's not that funny, but if there's an element of truth, then we certainly can relate to it. This is one of those things. The title of the article is "Hymnals Are Being Updated with I Surrender Some Lyric." U.S. hymnal publishers from around the nation confirmed Wednesday the release of a new updated hymnals containing a new version of I Surrender All, among other refreshes and enhancements. The new version of the tune I Surrender is entitled I Surrender Some. It was written to refresh outdated language and theology contained in the 1896 song, according to hymnal authorities. Singing like words like "All to Jesus I Surrender" just isn't in line with modern Christianity. A spokesman for the hymnal publishing LLC told reporters, "Now Christians can sincerely belt out lines to like, 'Some to Jesus I surrender, some to him I conditionally give,' without worrying if their hearts really line up with the lyrics. It was our desire to preserve these time-honored hymns while also making the lyrics so much more singable for the modern audience," the spokesperson added. Other changes were confirmed with new hymn titles like "In Christ for the Most Part," "Be Thou My Homeboy," and "How Great I Art." Now, how you like that, huh? Now, obviously, sad to say, I think it was Tozer that used to say, singing in churches makes liars out of all of us. And a lot of times those songs that we sing are absolutely true, that we don't really mean what we're singing, and that obviously is a takeoff on that type of thing. That is not true. Those hymn books are not being written. It was just obviously, I think, proving a point that is very interesting to me. All to Jesus I surrender. So here we are this morning. We are in Matthew chapter 7. If someone is teaching to you or preaching to you from Matthews 5, 6, and 7, they are known as what? That area is known as what in the Bible? The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, on the Sermon on the Mount is one of the most radical Christian teachings that had ever been heard at the time. And I'll just give you a quick overview of those chapters, it talks about turning the other cheek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus talks about being the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the danger of hatred. Adultery by thought. It was a radical idea that, you know what, if you see a woman and lust after her, you've already had an affair with her in your heart. And there was always a belief that, you know, you can look, it doesn't matter. Well, yes, it does matter. What you think matters. He talked about divorce, taking an oath. He talked about the real motive for giving and the right motive for prayer and fasting. He warned of wealth and materialism, worry and anxiety, the danger of criticizing others, and of course the golden rule, which is certainly a long lost teaching that we never seem to talk about anymore. And obviously where we are this morning is the wise and foolish builder. Now Jesus was talking about all of these things that I had already said in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and he ends with our passage this morning where he says, obviously, if you follow after these things, you are wise, and if you don't, you are foolish. And I'll tell you, we are seeing an awful lot of foolhardy people today that refuse to follow the teachings of Christ, and the reality of it is, I'm not talking about a lost world that refuses to follow the teachings of Christ, I'm talking about the Christian world that refuses to follow the teachings of Christ. It's like we want to have it all and stand for nothing, and our churches have lost their distinctiveness because we no longer want to stand for anything. We want the world to come into the church to attract the world, and when the world gets into a worldly church, they're turned off by what they saw. See, there's no distinction. If you were listening to WHCF coming to church this morning, I think it was John MacArthur talking about when we lose our saltiness, when we lose what we have, you and I are supposed to create a thirst from an unbeliever in the life that we are living. They're supposed to want what we have. Well, you know what? If you're acting like them, they're not going to want what you have because they're looking for something different. And in that process, Jesus says, if you listen to me, you'll be wise, and if you won't, you are a fool. Let me start by saying we are all building something. We are all building on something. If you think you're not building anything, you deceive yourself. We all have a process of life that we are living. We are investing, we are doing, and it may not be monetarily, but it's where you are pouring yourself into. And if I expand it, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And wherever you are investing, I'm not talking Wall Street, I'm talking about where you are taking up your time in life is what you are building. And not only what you are taking up your time in life in, but your philosophy of why you are doing those things reveals the foundation that you are building on. Let me explain it to you like this. Anthony Hopkins is a recognized actor, like him or not. One thing I do, if I'm watching a movie or something, my wife and I are watching something, a common comment I will make as I'm watching a scene is say, boy, they really acted that well. They really nailed that. And I have it's not easy to act. You know, obviously I've tried it. That's why I'm a pastor. I can act. But I was in skits in school, and obviously Tom Metzger has proven to be a good actor in our plays and stuff and things that we do. But the reality of it is those things are not easy. And one thing I can't stand, if I'm watching a show, a B-style movie, if you will, they're B-movies because the actors can't act. And I'll watch something, I can only take it for so long saying, this is just pathetic, and I'll turn it off. Anthony Hopkins can act. That guy, I don't care what the role is that he's playing, that guy can act. He was asked this week or recently in one of the entertainment magazines, and I'm going to quote to you. Hang on just a second. We're talking about the foundation that you are building your life on, and obviously we can see the foundations that others are building their life on. Anthony Hopkins said, I love life because what more is there? I love life because what more is there? And that seemed very sad to me. He's saying this is all there is. I love it. Really, what else is there? That revealed to me the foundation that he's standing on. And I'm not saying this as a pot shot to Anthony Hopkins. I'm saying that it's probably a pretty good reality of most people, is they think this is all there is. I was in someone's home a few years back. I never forgot. I was talking to a lady. I can't help it. I love the things of the Lord. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether I'm visiting for the church or in your home because you have a furnace and I'm fixing it. This happened to be an oil company customer. We were talking about things. I asked her where she went to church. She said, I used to go to such and such a church, and she listed the church. I knew the church to be a gospel preaching church. She said, I no longer go. I said, you must miss it. I would miss church if I didn't go. I do miss church when I don't go. Doesn't happen very often, but I do. I don't know about you, but I've noticed my week is all messed up if we have a snow day, for instance, and there is no church. Monday doesn't seem like Monday. No day is right. My whole week is based on how Sunday went, okay? So having said that, I said to this lady who no longer went to church, I said, you must miss that. She said, no, not really. She said, back then when I went to church, she says, I wasn't working outside of the home. And so I'd go to church and I'd get to see people and they were my contacts. She says, now I have a job. I work in a large office. I see people all the time. She says, I really don't need church. And that shocked me. Because folks, I love seeing you, but I don't come here for you. I come here because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want a closer walk with him. Now, you guys are a plus, you're a bonus. I love seeing you and all that. I love hearing the phones ringing and all that stuff going on. You know, this is a great time, but the reality of it is, tell him I said hi, Ginger. And the reality of it is, I don't come here for you. I come here because I hope that in the process of the preaching and the singing and what we are doing, I am closer to the Lord when I leave than when I came. And I hope that's the same reason you are here. And it's great to see each other. But this is not a social club we belong to. Hopefully, it's a lighthouse, a place of salt and light, a soul-saving station that people can come here, be confronted about who they are, and turn to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the church. But obviously, those two things, Anthony Hopkins and this lady, revealed to me the foundation that they are standing on. In a conversation with you, and I'm not trying to size you up when we talk or share about things, but it does reveal to me what your priorities are and the foundation that you are building on. And so here we are this morning, and Jesus is talking about the wise and the foolish builder. And there is no description of the house or the size. What is emphasized is the foundation. The wise man looks for a rock to build on. The foolish man likes the beachside property. If you will, Lot looked to the well-watered plain, and he liked the view that he had. But he was building on something that ended up destroying his family and his life. And it didn't go well for him. So both men are building a house, both choose a foundation, both experience storms, and both have different outcomes. And of course, being a gospel preacher, you got to have four things, or three or four things. They all got to have the same letter starting with them. So let's say the building the house, that's the cape. New England, obviously, you're going to have a cape. So obviously, I don't have a cape, but there are around. So the house is the cape, the foundation is the concrete, the storm is the catastrophe, and the different outcomes are the consequences. So you got the cape, the concrete, the catastrophe, and the consequences. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my foundation. Say that with me. Jesus Christ is my foundation. Now, hopefully everyone that said that believed it, but it's possible some people said that are not living that. 2018, let me encourage you to make Jesus Christ your foundation. For no other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The only real foundation in life is Jesus Christ. There is no other. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 3, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, in Zion I lay a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded." He that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Say that with me. He that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Now, confounded is obviously not a word that we use a great deal anymore. In the old sitcoms, they used to say confound it or whatever, and that was their form of swearing back then. Nowadays, swearing is swearing, and that's a different topic altogether. But if you look up confounded, it's in disorder. For instance, without Christ, your life can be in disorder. If you walk into my 5-year-old son's bedroom, you would call that confounded. There is no order there whatsoever. I walk in, I look around, and I turn around, and I say to his mom, "It looks like a bomb went off in his room." And it's that there's no order. That would be confounded. Okay? It wasn't his fault. He comes from a sinful dad. Is that what you're going to say? Yes, there you go. Yeah. She loves throwing that in my face. He's just like his father. Well, anyway, we obviously are getting sidetracked here. If any of you offer counseling, we would appreciate that. But anyway, disorder. Also, perplexed, abashed, dismayed, put to shame, astonished. That's confounded. He that believeth in him shall not be confounded. So let me give you an illustration of what that would be. I don't know about you, but this world at times confounds me. For instance, Isaiah chapter 5. Let's go to that very quickly. Let me see if I can find that. I'll read it to you. The Bible warns about the days ahead. We sang about the days of Ezekiel. Obviously, we need to be sharing the word of the Lord. But Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 is a verse we all should memorize. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." We could go on, but that's enough. Okay? So Isaiah is saying, look out, the time's going to come when they're going to call black, white, white, black, light, dark, and all this. They're going to switch things all around. Would you say we're doing that today? See, when I read that as a young person years ago, I thought, boy, there's going to come a time where people just won't get married and they'll say it's okay. Well, we're certainly seeing that, and that would certainly be the case. There's going to come a time, I thought, when the morals of society will be pushed back on and it's just wrong. But I'll tell you what, that was only a tip of the iceberg. Where we are today, I it's not even right to say that I'm a man. I could say that I'm a girl, and you can't tell me I'm wrong. Nowadays on birth certificates, we're starting to say that you don't necessarily have to choose a gender if you don't want to. You can decide later what they are. Folks, that is bizarro. That is just unbelievable. That is a world that makes no sense whatsoever. And they're telling us, if I talk like this, if I'm saying what I'm saying this morning, that I'm the judgmental person. And who am I to say that that little boy is not really a girl? Folks, we're in a sick, I'm telling you, that's confounding to me. That's a world that is messed up because there's no foundation there. Let me tell you, my Bible says in the Old Testament, Genesis, that he created male and female, and Satan hates that. And boy, he's getting really good at taking that male and female. At first, we just neutered it, and now we've gone way over the deep end. And you all know where I'm going with all this stuff. It's unbelievable because when you step off the foundation of Jesus Christ, you've got nothing to go by. There isn't a week that goes by now where we don't see an article in the paper about something happening at one of our schools, or either a shooting or a teacher involved with a student or whatever. And obviously to you and I, it's shocking. But what I always come back to is, who's to say that's wrong? We've thrown the Bible out. We've got no standard. Who are we to judge whether that person shouldn't do what they're doing or not? And we all want to have a moral guideline when it fits our principles, and we want to throw it out when it doesn't fit our principles. And folks, God can't bless that. There is a guideline. It's called God's Word. It's built on the faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you want to throw this book out and go on your own system, you're building on sand and your house will fall. And America is going to fall if she doesn't realize the danger that she's in. And I see signs that we do. And I'm encouraged by that. Shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Do you find that when you mention Jesus Christ, people are bothered by that name? That's called, he's a stone of stumbling to them. Oh, don't bring out that name. Don't say that. You can say you believe in God. Years ago, and we're talking 15, 20 years ago, there's a church in Bangor. The pastor came in, and it was a social gospel church. And one of the parishioners back then, it's longer ago than that now, because I was working on Hammond Street running a service station. And one of the parishioners came to me and says, we get this new pastor, and you know, I'm okay with him talking about God and that sort of thing, but boy, when he starts talking about Jesus Christ, I get real uncomfortable. Can you imagine? But that's how it is. You can talk about God if you want to. America believes in God. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You can't have God without Jesus Christ, folks. Doesn't work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we were there for verse 11, now verses 12 and 13. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And I've preached this in the past, and I've said when you get to heaven, there's a chance there's going to be a bonfire there, and you'll have all of your works there. Here's Stan Griffin's work. Boy, there's a lot of brush there. Every now and then you can see a little glimmer of hope, and there's some gold in there, and there it is. And then some angel comes along, and he torches it. There she goes. Hopefully that doesn't describe your pile, but it's probably mine. There it is. And then when it's all done, most of the stuff is burned up, but the gold and silver and precious stones, there's a few things in there that I did. The gold, silver, and precious stones are the things that are talked about where we say, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Now, you and I do some things for ourselves. Those things won't last. That's the wood, hay, and stubble. The things we do for Jesus Christ, those are the things that will last. I'd like to think that if I drop dead today, the Cornerstone Baptist Church would continue on preaching the gospel. You'd hope that what we've done here will last. But the things, the rewards that I've done for the Lord will last forever. The things that I've done selfishly for myself or whatever, they have no lasting effect. Having said that, I believe I wasn't wrong in saying those things, but the reality of it is that we don't have to wait until we get to heaven for our works to be tried by fire, because the storms come. Did you hear me? The storms come. Say that with me. The storms come. How many have been in a storm in your life? Go ahead, raise your hand. If there's no hands here, I'd like to talk to you after the service, because you are incredible, okay? Every one of us have been through difficulties where the storm is there and we're caught out in the cold and we feel alone and we're struggling. But the reality of it is, what it is it's testing who we are. Mark in Sunday school this morning preached on Jesus being tested out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and fasting. Did Jesus need to be tested? No. He's God in the flesh. Good chance he'll be okay. But what was being tested is who he was, what he believed, and an example to you and I about you can make it. God didn't fail. He's tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin. And you and I can be tested and make it as well. However, if you're living a selfish life when the test comes, you're not going to make it. You're standing on the wrong foundation. Your works are being tried as by fire. It's not uncommon for us to talk about a time, boy, that was my trial by fire. Haven't we said that? If you haven't, I have. Boy, that was my trial by fire. You can have an employee that you can, boy, this is my trial by fire. different things that go on. You could have a wife, there's my trial by fire. Ladies, you could have a husband. You fill it in wherever you want. Could be a car. I had a 1976 Ford F-250. That piece of junk left me walking so many times. I hated that truck. I still hate that truck. You know, that was a Ford. How could that be? It was. My father sold me that truck, and I've never forgiven him for that. You know? When I sold it to somebody else down Route 9, and they lived down in Princeton, Callis, down that way, as they drove out the yard, I'm thinking, I hope they make it to where they're going. Certain things can try you, and I'll tell you what this is. If you're going through a trial, and all of a sudden you start swearing, chances are you're not standing on a firm foundation. It's exposing your heart. If you're going through a trial, and you're doing everything but talking to the Lord about it, that's a chance that's exposing your heart. See, whatever happens, the first thing, when it's all said and done, when the storm is past, you may be a little worse for the wear, but your faith has not changed. You know who's in charge. You know what you believe, and you are not confounded. See, the deal is this, is that you and I will watch certain things go on out in a lost and dying world. We don't like it, it upsets us, but we understand why it's happening. That's the word's teaching, you won't be confounded. I understand trouble happens, I understand certain things take place. I may not have the answer for why everything happens the way it does, but it does not shake my faith. I've made up my mind I'm going to follow God, and in the sub-zero weather or in the sunshine, it does not matter. My foundation is Jesus Christ, and He's not moving. It's a big difference. And if you can't stand on that, you're going to be in trouble because the storms will come. They may be coming in 2018. They may be happening right now. And I'm telling you, if they are, at the end of the service, you need to come forward and say, Lord, I want my foundation on Jesus Christ. I want to make it. When the air clears and there's a bright sky ahead, I still want to be standing with you. That is extremely important, because Jesus didn't say, if you ever have a storm, or if the floods ever come, or if anything ever happens, if the trial ever takes place. He said, no, when it does, when it does, when it does. We sang the song, what was it, in Sunday school? What's the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods went up. The rains came down and the floods went up. The rains came down and the floods went up. And the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. Did you guys ever sing this song? The rains came down, the floods came up. The rains came down, the floods came up. The rains came down, the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat. We all clapped our hands, crash! You know what? It's not just a song. That's how it goes. Jesus is the greatest storyteller that ever lived, ever existed. He made the man that tells the stories. He's in all of it. I don't want you to think that I've fallen off the deep end by saying this story. I'm going to change it a little bit. Because catastrophes happen, tsunamis happen. When the waves come in on the beach house in a tsunami, it's obliterated. But you know what? That's rare. It's not usually what happens. Usually what happens is it's incremental. Usually what happens is it's not the tsunami, it's a poor choice that you made, it's a lie that you told. It's a relationship that you decided to get involved in, that you know it's not good, but I can handle it. And so you start going down a road that's leading in the wrong direction. You're going down the hog pen trail, if you will. You're the prodigal son, and you're walking away from the Lord, and you know the choices that I'm making right now are not correct, but I'm okay with this. I'll get it right. I'll come back to the Lord. But for right now, I just want to sow my wild oats. That's what the prodigal son did. And so finally he comes back to the father, but that's a clean ending. We don't know about any venereal disease he might have had. We don't know about any drug addiction he may have had. See, because once you get down there, it can change your life forever. And it happens incrementally. And we'll see it. But you won't. Because you're thinking, oh, I'm fine. And maybe it shows up at first with just a little wrinkle. And I'm not talking about age. I'm talking to something different about, I don't dare to pick on my wife. Let's say Sean. Sean leads the youth. Sean's a good guy. If I thought this was true, I wouldn't be. God is my witness. I think Sean's a good guy. He married one of the finest women I've ever known, so he must be all right, okay? So let's just say I see Sean, and Sean, there's something different about Sean. I don't know what it is, but there's something going on with, you know, we're not judges, but I think God has given us a certain amount of discernment at times. Glenn is a paid counselor. I know he and I haven't talked about it, but I bet you a lot of times when he's dealing with someone that he's working with, he can tell if he's gaining or losing, whether they say anything or not. Isn't that true? That's how it is. You and I will see people that have been in church right along, and then they start missing. And when we do see them, we sense something's not right there. I don't know what it is. I've had family members. Emily and I have talked about it and said, you know, there's something with so-and-so. I don't know what it is. But it's not good. And over a period of time, it wasn't good. You say, who are you talking about? Who are you talking about? Fat chance, I'm telling you. You know? But you know what I'm talking about? You and I have all seen it. And it's not a tsunami. It's an incremental poor choice after poor choice. And then starting to lie to cover it up. And the next thing you know, they were building something on the sand and their life fell apart and it's a crisis and we love them and we want so much to be able to help them put that back together. But you know what? There's no guarantee their life can be put back together. There's no guarantee it will be okay. The only guarantee we have is when we keep our feet planted on the rock of Jesus Christ. That's a guarantee it will be okay. I'll close with this. And I've struggled with whether I should say this or not because it sounds self-serving. And you can determine whether it is or not. We've been here for 23 years. We've had a tremendous number of people come through and go. I've had people say some wonderful things to me. I've had people come to me, wow, you're the greatest preacher I've ever heard. And as a preacher, I'm thinking, I love this person. They're my favorite, you know? But it doesn't matter. I don't know how many of you ever would have known Jack Hiles, but Jack Hiles was one of the mega pastors of the day back in the 80s when there weren't any mega churches. Jack Hiles ran 8,000 every Sunday morning back in the 70s. I mean, it was just about unheard of. He traveled every week. Every week he was on a plane going somewhere. Churches would pack out to hear him. He was absolutely incredible. I saw him preach to an auditorium full of young people, and he gave the invitation. It was like the sea was moving. Everybody moved to the altar. It was just one of the greatest things I ever saw. The man could just flat preach the gospel. Having said that, I sat under his ministry for a year. About 6 months into it, he was just average to me. That's what I heard. That's what you get used to. That's what you get to know. Good preacher, bad preacher, if I'm your pastor, I'm just average to you. It's what you know. Some Sundays, maybe I could motivate you a little better than others. Some Sundays, I find I'm funnier than others. I like the funny ones. I like making a group laugh. I like all those things. I'm saying all that to say this. The bottom line is, at this point, if you've been in this church for any time at all, the chance for me to really fire you up is gone. It's not there. The only one that can fire you up is the Holy Spirit. And the only one that can fire you up is you. It is you that determines what kind of walk you have with Jesus Christ. It's not me. It is you that determines how much investment you're going to put in your relationship with the Lord. It's not me on Sunday. Now, you come to Sunday to obviously to get re-energized, to get refocused. We need this place. The Bible says we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I'm not making excuses for me. If I can't motivate you, I can say, well, that's not my problem. That's their problem. I guess they can't hear the Spirit. No, a lot of it is on me. But the reality of it is, 30 minutes of preaching one day a week will not determine your spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. You will. It's what you do this afternoon. It's what you do on Monday. It's what you do on Tuesday. It's what you do on Wednesday. It's what you do on Thursday. It's what you do on Friday. It's what you do on Saturday. Do you get a sense of where I'm going here? It's up to you to determine what kind of walk you have with Jesus Christ. And I would love to have some influence on that. But the reality of it is, I have very little influence on that. But I can tell you this, I found living for the Lord, and I said it a while ago, and this will be my last thing. Emily and I, at times, we have Netflix, and we'll binge watch a show. I get so tired of some of those shows, I'll start out with it, and I'll go, wow, this is really good, I like it. After about season three, you're thinking, this show stinks, I can't take it anymore, you know? It doesn't matter how good it is, it just gets old. Now, so I found that sometimes I just want to get away from people. Doesn't matter how good you are, you just get old. You say, can the pastor say that? Well, I just did. Now, probably I didn't score any points of that. Emily looks at me and she says, do you get tired of me? And you're thinking, that's like, does this dress make me look fat? How do I answer that? Of course, you know, no, not, never, no chance. But I have found that times I like to be alone. I never tire of Jesus Christ. That's my point in all this. The closer you get to him, you'll never say, man, I've just got too much of the Lord. That can't happen. He wants a relationship with you. Why not make up your mind in 2018, whatever I'm building, it's going to be centered around Jesus Christ. And when the storm comes, and it will, after the storm is gone, you're still standing on Jesus Christ. You won't tire of him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time this morning. Thank you for the story of the wise and foolish builder. And Lord, it is so important that we build on the things of you. And it starts out somewhere in our life where we recognize that we are a sinner and we need a Savior. And at Christmas time, we celebrate, shall name his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You are our Savior. And I've trusted you as my Savior, and it's as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And then, Lord, it's determined on whether we're going to live for you, to be salt and light. Salvation is guaranteed, but our rewards with you are not. That all depends on how we do. How big a bonfire burns when our works are tried. How we do through the tests of time. Lord, I hope on the last day of 2017, we'd say, Lord Jesus, help me to finish well and help me to do well for you in 2018. I want nothing else. We will get distracted. We will get tired. We will get discouraged. But I pray that we're always standing with you and on your foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation laid that is laid but Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray every person here knows you as their personal Savior. If not, then right now they'd say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And tell me that they prayed that when the service is over. And then, Lord, for us as Christians, help us to finish this year strong, dedicated to the things of you. As we open the altar, I pray that folks will respond. In Jesus' name, amen.